Today, a good topic because we're going to talk about unstable surface training, which is very relevant for hockey because it's not really that stable of a surface when you think about it. You're usually on one leg all the time. But, well, let's start with what is considered unstable surface training, Jeffrey?
Well, it's exercise performed from a platform of instability. So these unstable platforms could be stability balls, wobble boards, foam pads, or rollers. So the stability balls, everybody's probably seen these in the gym. They look like big beach balls. They're obviously a little bit stronger than that. The wobble boards are kind of 16 inches by 16 inches, plywood, half an inch thick, and they've got a hard plastic bubble on the bottom that you try to balance on them, doing different drills. Foam pads, they can be, again, same size as the wobble boards, different densities, okay? They could be anywhere from an inch to maybe 2 inches thick, and different densities of foam. And then the foam rollers, very much the same. And these training aids first introduced in rehabilitation for ankle injuries back in the 1990s. The specific unstable surface training aid for this application were the wobble boards and the foam pads. And this type of training, Gregor, really seemed to help sensory evaluation for muscular systems around the ankle. And from that period, these training aids exploded into mainstream fitness.
Okay, so does it have value? Does it improve your balance?
Well, it can be one of the tools that we use to improve your balance. Interestingly, research suggests that more traditional ground contact strength work is superior in terms of improving your balance skills. So it's important to understand when we perform dynamic movement, there's a quick lengthening, loading, or a stretch of working muscles followed by a quick shortening of that same muscle system to complete an athletic task. And this is called the stretch-shortening response cycle. Too much unstable surface training impairs or slows these response times because of the soft, spongy nature of the surface. So the soft surface creates a lag in the response cycle. So again, if an athlete's doing too much of this kind of work, they could potentially be slower, less reactive. And when they are slower and less reactive, typically we're more injury prone. And when athletes were tested after using some of these training aids, their sprint times were slower. Vertical jump heights also impaired. They didn't jump as high.
So then it doesn't really have value then, does it?
Well, it doesn't, but a lot of this, Gregor, it's where you decide to implement these training aids, in which phase of training. So it would depend on where you insert them into your training, and they could have value, but it just depends on where. Obviously, in fact, I guess if we look at like these training aids, like understanding where they fit in, which is kind of our next question, it would depend on the goals of the participant. So if you're needing low-intensity work, nursing an injury, or you're working through a detraining phase after a long competitive season, stability ball workouts can be easy on your body. They still encourage good functional full range of motion that's safe and preparatory in nature for more intense phases of work to come. It will not provide the leverage or ground force reactions necessary for maximal strength and power development. And if you want to work on balance from the ground, realize it can be done by changing the stability requirements of an exercise, like working on one leg or doing jump training, where after you do the jump, you have to balance on one limb, for example. And, you know, I'd have to say this. The fitness industry is filled with gimmicks. Unstable surface training crosses over into this gimmick category just a little bit, and it's an overprescribed modality. To be truthful, it's not as necessary as some might have you believe.
Jeff Woods from Custom Fit joins us. So if someone did feel compelled to own a stability ball, what should they look for? You know, what do you do with it where it can help you?
Yeah, well, purchase the anti-burst type, first of all. They're marked as such. They deflate slowly, where if you had like a puncture, you'd have time to respond should it burst. the balls are that aren't anti-burst, they pop like a balloon. They will go up very quick, and they're quite dangerous. The cost of a good anti-burst ball would be anywhere between $50 and $100, depending on the size. A smaller person should buy a smaller ball. And the balls are sized or measured from the ground up, typically 50 centimeters to 100 centimeters. An important point, these balls should not be used for weight training, and I see this all the time. It happens in the gyms. They're not designed for that type of loading. If you intend to lift weights off your ball, you can buy them specifically designed for that, and it's like a medicine ball on steroids, Gregor. These things are the same size, like 50 to 100 centimeters, but there is quite a like a large amount of the ball that's filled with a soft rubber compound. They're obviously quite a bit heavier, but they retail between $300 and $500, but they can take on, you know, a decent load of a big person. And if you were going to do a bench press and have a couple hundred pounds on the bar, they're specifically designed to accommodate that kind of loading. So much safer.
Okay. So, because I've got people texting, hey, I just got a balance beam. So should I not use it ever, or is there ways to implement it that it can potentially help you?
Well, with all of these training aids, okay, and these unstable surface things, they work really well when we've had an injury and where you don't really need really quick stretch shortening cycle response times when you're nursing yourself back from an injury. Or, like I say, after you've had a long competitive season and your first phase of training is just preparatory in nature, readying your body for the next phase of training that's going to be more intense, these unstable surface training drills and apparatuses work really well understanding where to insert them. So they can be just fine. And let's say, for example, we've got a senior that needs to do some mobility drills for their ankle, or just doing big dynamic ranges of motion, even holding these stability balls. They offer up a little resistance, but they're safe, and you can take them through challenging ranges of motion, doing different sort of patterns. They're fantastic for that sort of thing. And again, just quite easy to manipulate, and they're not overly cumbersome. Like, they're not difficult to, you know, keep in your house, and they're not going to ruin, you know, furniture, that sort of thing. So they're and cost effective as well, Gregor. So they can be effective, properly inserted into your programming.
Jeffrey, great stuff, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Gregor.
There you go. That's Jeff Woods from Custom Fit.